Boxer Mike Tyson returns to the ring Saturday night after a 4-year absence. 3 of those years were spent in jail on a rape conviction. Tyson continues to deny the charge. Commentator Gerald Early says that Tyson's release from prison sparked new questions about an old debate in the black community about tensions between the genders.
There has been much talk lately about the gender crisis currently afflicting the black community. A few issues back, Transition, a black intellectual journal under the editorship of Henry Louis Gates and Anthony Appiah, published a long essay by Harvard sociologist Orlando Patterson. The essay is entitled Blacklash, The Crisis of Gender Relations Among African Americans. Patterson argues that slavery distorted black gender relations, giving rise to weak fathers and a repressive black motherhood. The current issue of Transition features a number of responses to Professor Patterson's piece. Among the respondents are Andrew Hacker, Bell Hooks, Michelle Wallace, Derek Bell, Nathan Hare, Jim Sleeper, and Ishmael Reed, many of whom do not buy Patterson's slavery thesis. With these heavy hitters, we know that this black gender crisis is no small problem. Intellectuals feel that the crucial example of this gender crisis is the confrontation between Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. Gender tension in the black community was exacerbated by the recent Harlem celebration of the release from prison of former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson. In this age, when claiming to be a victim is often a smart political move, Tyson has led many to think that he is a black man who was victimized by a racist criminal justice system. Tyson, an admitted wife beater, was convicted of raping a black beauty pageant contestant. The evidence against him was strong, and his defense was not only inadequate, but embarrassing. Apparently, Tyson even offered a huge money settlement if the victim would drop the criminal charges. She refused. So Tyson gave away turkeys in the black community of Indianapolis the Thanksgiving before the trial. Tyson's Harlem homecoming set off a bit of furor in the black community, as some black women were infuriated that a rapist would be greeted as a hero. Because it is generally understood that black men are at such huge risk, it is felt that their condition should be of paramount concern, and anything that would serve as a symbolic good for the regeneration of black men should be promoted. In Tyson's case, too many black women felt that this symbolic gesture was coming at their expense. It is hard to say whether gender tension is any higher in the black community now than in the past. Things seem to have been fairly tense in 1959 when Lorraine Hansberry wrote her play about black gender relations, A Raisin in the Sun. And probably the times were no better when Zora Neale Hurston wrote her classic 1937 novel about black male-female relations, Their Eyes Were Watching God. Of course, Harriet Jacobs' Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl, published in 1861, did not paint a rosy picture of black male-female relations either. A few months ago, I was watching a 1960 horror movie called The Brain That Wouldn't Die. Watching old bad horror movies is a pastime of mine. My youngest daughter joined me. The movie, like the more recent Frankenhooker, is about a doctor whose girlfriend is decapitated, but he manages to keep her head alive while he goes to strip joints and beauty pageants trying to find her an alluring new body. The girlfriend's head becomes a giant mental power in the meanwhile, learning to control a monster the doctor has hidden in a closet and eventually destroys him. I asked my daughter what she thought of the movie. It was pretty cool. The woman becomes the brain instead of the body and gets rid of the guy who thinks that women are nothing but their bodies. Science is male ego. I don't think that was the film's message, I said. I guess, she said, men and women do think differently.
Gerald Early teaches English at Washington University, where he directs the program on African and Afro-American studies. He's the author of The Culture of Bruising, Essays on Prize Fighting, Literature, and Modern American Culture.